talking about our home. Talking about me and you. Things we'll do, I said our home.
Talking about our home.
Not talking about a one night stand. I wanna be your man, I said our home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Custom Home and Remodel Show, and Charleston's online home show, newhomecharleston.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the three custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January at our new home at our new old home at the Gilliard Center downtown. Also, the Charleston Home and Design Show on Daniel Island, which happens every April at Family Circle Stadium on Daniel Island. And also the Charleston Home and Design Show Fall Edition, which happens every August. Well, as you can imagine, publishing Charleston Home and Design Magazine and organizing three custom home shows allows us to get to know some really fantastic local companies. And today we've got some great interviews lined up for you. We're going to be, today's radio show is coming to you from Plugs Appliance Center in West Ashley, and we'll be talking to Gene Wallace with Plugs Appliance Center. Also, we have an extended interview with Ryan Butler. He's a custom builder. His company is Shelter Built Custom Living. Very interesting interview. You want to stay tuned for that. Talks about trends and some of the things that that people are his customers are asking for in terms of items within their custom homes that he is building. Also, we'll be talking to Terry Newby with Charleston Lighting and Interiors, and also Tom Werner with Charleston One Source. Well, the new issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine is out. Some of you may have already gotten it in the mail, and if you haven't, I encourage you to pick it up. Charleston Home and Design Magazine is located in most of the finer home-related retail stores throughout Charleston. And our fall issue has Greer Allen. He's the co-founder of the local tech company Boomtown on our cover. And pick it up Mount Pleasant at GDC Home, and also in West Ashley at GDC Home. Melser Tile in North Charleston is also a good spot to pick it up. You could pick it up at Southern Lumber down in downtown Charleston, or Bird Decorative Hardware. And check it out. It's a great issue, and I hope you have a great weekend.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. Today's radio show is coming to you from Plugs Appliance Center, located at 1903 Sam Rittenberg Boulevard, across from Outback Steakhouse in West Ashley, next to Pier 1. And on Sam Rittenberg, and now we're talking with Gene Wallace with Plugs Appliance Center. How you doing, Gene?
I'm doing great, and you, Tim?
Good, good. Gene, take a moment and tell everybody about Plugs Appliance Center.
Plugs Appliance Center is we have two stores in the Charleston area. We carry a complete line of about 20 different brands of appliances. We do a lot of work with home builders. We do retail sales as well. And probably the best sales team in Charleston.
Very good, very good. So Plugs Appliance Center, we're at the West Ashley Plugs Appliance store on Sam Rittenberg, but there's also another Plugs Appliance Center store in Mount Pleasant, right next to Sesame Burger, which everybody knows is a great place. And that is 675 Johnny Dodds Boulevard. So, Gene, I love your showroom here at Plugs Appliance Center. Take our listeners on kind of a virtual tour when they visit Plugs Appliance Center here in West Ashley. What will they encounter?
Well, the first thing you encounter when you walk in the door is a handshake. I mean, we believe in personal service, and it starts with walking in the door. Mm-hmm. We have 18 different kitchen vignettes, so we can walk you through a custom kitchen. We can sell you just a washer dryer, but I mean, we can make you feel at ease, and you can get an idea of what your appliances are going to look like in the kitchen, because we actually have them setting in a home type situation here in the showroom.
Gotcha. So these 18 different kitchen vignettes that you have, these are, you're talking about like little rooms where you have the cabinetry, like they're basically small kitchens.
Okay. And Sub-Zero, Wolf, Thermador, KitchenAid, Viking, Jennair, GE Monogram, and the list goes on. I mean, we probably got the best display around town.
Nice. So instead of just looking at the appliances on the floor, row after row, you can look at the appliances and kind of envision how they would look in a kitchen setting.
Exactly. And we've got some products operational, so you can really get a better understanding of how it's going to work in your kitchen and fit into your game plan.
Very good, very good. And that's important because, the kitchen is if not the most important, one of the most important rooms in somebody's house. When it comes to appliances, there's a fashion element that goes with the appliances that you buy for your kitchen.
There's definitely a fashion element, and whether you cook or not, you want to show off your appliances. And the kitchen is probably the showroom of the house, and we can help you make that dream come true.
Gotcha. So you're able to walk from one kitchen vignette to another and see different brands of appliances all in their own kitchen setting. And how do homeowners decide from one brand to another?
You know, we ask a lot of questions. We try to guide them through the process. We try to find out what their budget is, and that will help guide them in the proper direction. Find out, do they need a wall oven cooktop? Do they need a range? So we ask a lot of questions, and then we gently make some recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so it's not all based on price, but you do have appliances that appeal to different budgets for people.
We've got, I've got the property management refrigerator at $399, and then I've got the Sub-Zero, that's in the full blown custom kitchen as well. So mm-hmm. We cover the full spectrum. Yes.
Gotcha. And I can personally attest to that, because I've purchased appliances for our old house that we now rent out. And when it's your own house, you're more willing to splurge. But if it's a rental house, you want a good deal on an appliance, and you want it to last a long time too.
Certainly.
And so, Plugs Appliance, you folks have, you do a lot of, you provide a lot of appliances for people that have rentals, for example?
We do a tremendous amount of rental business, yes. We service several different apartment complexes in the area, we can help with the low-end side of things.
Dispel a myth that people have in their minds. People think that if they go to a big box store or a national store, they're going to pay less for their appliances than if they go to an independent local store like Plugs Appliance.
We are an independent local store, but we belong to one of the largest buying groups in the industry. So, I mean, we buy at the same prices as the big boxes. We can compete with the big boxes every day of the week. Mm-hmm. And we do our homework. We know what they're doing. So we price accordingly. Mm-hmm. And, Price, quality, service. I mean, we beat them out every time.
So price is your Plugs Appliances is competitive with the big box stores, but then you've got that extra level of service that you're not necessarily going to get at a big box store.
You've got a professional you're talking to that really knows his business, and yes, you've got that extra level of service. So if there's a problem afterwards, you call and we just make the problem go away. You're not calling a 1-800 number. You're mm-hmm. calling Plugs.
How long have you been in the appliance business, Gene?
Roughly 32 years.
32 years.
I was a young man when I started.
and you've got a very experienced staff here, too.
We've got a very experienced staff. One of my partners outside, he's been in there 38 years, and Robin, our bedding specialist, has been in the business probably 8 years. So we've got very, very experienced people in place.
So, and you don't want to be talking to someone who really is not an expert, someone who really doesn't know the ins and outs of appliances when it comes to purchasing an appliance. You don't want that guesswork that you might get at the big box stores.
No, you certainly don't. And, you know, we take online courses to make sure we're up to date with all with everything new going on. We send our folks to California, Wisconsin, wherever that they can get training on the different products. Mm-hmm. I mean, we certainly believe in training is very important.
So when a customer asks you about, well, what's the difference between this dishwasher and this dishwasher? How come this one is $100 more or this or that? You're not just going to kind of fudge the answer. You're going to give them some the correct answers.
We're not going to shoot from the hip. We're going to give them the facts and figures.
Gotcha. What's hot these days for kitchen appliances?
You know, the biggest thing right now is induction cooktops are getting bigger and bigger. Electric cooktops, but you got the response of gas, and we're seeing a lot more induction going on.
And what does that mean, induction?
It actually cooks with magnetics, and there's really no heat involved, so it's very, very safe, and it's just a greener way to cook, mm-hmm. and like I said, getting more and more popular every day.
Professional chefs like cooking with gas because they can control that heat
exactly.
so easily, and you can kind of get that same response with induction cooking.
You can get every bit of that response, and you can boil a pot of water faster with induction than you can gas. Mm. So it's very responsive, very, very quick.
And if your kid makes a mistake and reaches up and touches the burner,
he will be okay.
He'll be okay.
He'll
wow.
be okay.
Interesting. Yeah. What about finishes? Is stainless steel still the top choice?
You know, black stainless is coming on. Hmm. I think that's going to catch on in maybe 2016. Mm-hmm. Several companies are introducing black stainless. Doesn't show the fingerprints, and it's a really rich looking product. I think it's going to do well.
Hmm, interesting. And then besides the kitchen, where else can Plugs Appliance help people with appliances around the house?
People put warming drawers in bedrooms and bathrooms, so we can do warming drawers anywhere. We are a full service. We've got a full service bedding department. So we can help you from a garage refrigerator to the bed you sleep in. We can cover it all.
And then we have got the holidays coming up. People might need a new washer and dryer. What's new with washers and dryers these days? Are they still selling them the front loading pedestals, or are they going to the top load?
You know, more and more of that business is going back to an old top load machine. Mm-hmm. There's some very, very good energy efficient machines top load, and top load is probably the majority of what we're doing right now. 3 years ago, it was we were doing more of the front loaders, mm-hmm. but it seems to be that's where it's going, is with the top load laundry.
Good deal. And Plugs Appliance has an inventory reduction sale that's going to be coming up in the next 30 days or so?
We are trying to put that together now. We're probably going to have a tent sale at our West Ashley location, and there will be some great deals. We're going to keep people, we're going to do some advertising on the radio and TV and the newspaper. We'll also talk about it. We'll have it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to a very good turnout there.
Good deal. We'll keep tuned for that. And how can folks get more information about Plugs Appliance Center?
You can visit us on the web at plugsappliance.com. You can call West Ashley at 843-531-5132 or give us a call at Mount Pleasant at 843-531-5140.
Okay, great. Well, we've been talking with Gene Wallace with Plugs Appliance Center, and thanks to for Plugs Appliance Center for hosting today's radio show. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Plugs Appliance Center, located at 1903 Sam Rittenberg Boulevard in West Ashley, across from Outback Steakhouse. And now we're talking with Ryan Butler with Shelter Built Custom Living. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tim?
Good, good. Ryan, take a moment and tell everybody about Shelter Built Custom Living.
Sure. I've been in the home building business the majority of my life, and worked for a large home builder based out of Atlanta when I moved here in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Recently started Shelter little under 3 years ago. Custom home building company based on Daniel Island. Just recently branched off and doing some projects on Isle of Palms and Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But just a small custom home builder. I like to be hands-on with all my projects, have a small staff, small overhead,
mm-hmm.
but like to focus on, you know, providing the client the experience they deserve when they're building their custom home.
Gotcha. So you have how many years did you work for the other volume builder?
15 years.
15 years. So you've got that solid experience.
Yes, yep.
We're able to make mistakes on someone else's dime, as they say.
Yeah,
and
yep.
Now you've branched out and you're on your own. You've been a custom builder on your own for about 3 years now.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Good
yes.
deal. About how many homes have you built in that time?
We finished about 6 of them. And we currently have 6 out of ground under construction, and there's a few more slated to start here in the next few months.
Wow,
so
that's great.
Things have been great.
Yeah, yeah. What do you attribute that to? Because it seems like if you're starting out as a custom builder, starting a new company, you would think that you know, it would take a while to gain traction and so forth. What do you think sets you apart from other builders in town?
Well, being in this area for over 10 years, I was able to establish a great relationship with the local sales agents in town, and you know, they had an understanding of how I operated, my demeanor, my integrity, and when I started my own company, a lot of those agents helped feed leads to me, and once we had some initial meetings, things kind of took off. Being on Daniel Island, I also live on Daniel Island. It's a small community. Word travels fast, good or bad, and I think I have a lot of positive accolades out there,
mm-hmm.
that helps get passed on word of mouth, and you know, been receiving a lot of people inquiries about how I do things, and that's how it kind of grows from there.
Great. So. It's stressful building a house for the homeowners. There's a lot of pressure to make decisions very quickly, and there's thousands of decisions that need to be made. You don't seem like the type of builder that gets rattled.
I've heard that before. You're exactly right, Tim. There's so many decisions and things coming at you at all times, and you try to be prepared. Prepare the client for the decisions that will need to be made. We present them with a design selection schedule up front. Try to get them to make those decisions early on, mm-hmm. and a lot of times people, you know, wonder why they're picking lighting when their house is just being framed. Mm-hmm. But that's why. It's just it helps avoid crunch time decisions and being pressured. But I think we do a good job with preparing people and, you know, giving them a clear understanding of the schedule and deadlines and helps streamline the process.
Mm-hmm. Who's the ultimate decision maker, the husband or the wife?
I'd have to say the wife. Yeah. But I've seen both.
How often do you have to put on your marriage counselor hat as a custom builder?
More than you would expect. Uh-huh. You know, you often find yourself being the mediator, or they look to you for your opinion, and it's hard to pick sides.
Right.
But you just honestly, you know, you establish such a relationship with these people because you're together for such a long time and building their dream home, and they value your decision, and you just get to the point where you give them your opinion, whether mm-hmm. it's the husbands or the wives, and move forward.
Right. Talk about some of the current projects that Shelter has going on right now.
Well, the majority of the projects are located on Daniel Island. It's the park side of Daniel Island, the north side where the golf courses are. We have a lot of custom homes for people where they purchased the lot and hired Shelter to build mm-hmm. their homes for them. We have a couple homes where Shelter is building and are for sale as mm-hmm. well on Daniel Island. Recently started a custom home in Mount Pleasant and Isle of Palms mm-hmm. as well. So things have been good. It's been busy, and we're constantly getting new leads, and some of them work out and some of them don't. But right now it's a good pace. It feels good.
You get that question, what kind of cost per square foot should I expect?
All the time. That's one of the first questions I get asked.
How do you answer that? It's very difficult.
It's very difficult. There's so many factors that go into the cost of a home. You know, the lot itself, preparing the lot, the floor plan itself. It's the number of porches and metal roof versus shingle roof, impact glass. There's just so many. And all I can tell people is basically the past homes or the current projects, you know, I've completed, you know, ballpark pricing per square foot for those particular projects, you know, and it's a wide range. And mm-hmm. I think people appreciate that. But, you know, I still try to give them a ballpark or a range of what I've been seeing in the mm-hmm. past.
I've heard other builders complain that sometimes a builder will kind of underbid, and that the homeowner looks at the proposal when they're shopping for a builder, and they look at the cost per square foot and they say, oh wow, this is the lowest. But it turns out the allowances were not large enough. They might have $5,000 for a lighting allowance when you can buy a single fixture for $5,000.
Exactly.
And then there's cost overruns, mm-hmm. and then you end up halfway through and you go, gosh, I should have gone with this other builder because mm-hmm. my cost per square foot is much greater than what this guy said it was to begin with.
Absolutely. When I present my pricing to clients, it's very transparent. I do fixed cost contracts with allowances that are included in that number. And when somebody receives pricing from me, it's a five-page spreadsheet, line itemed out of all the cost of the home. The majority of them are fixed costs, but there are a percentage, about 20%, that are allowances, and those allowances are clearly called out. And I would assume that when they're comparing other builders, you know, they see those allowances as well, but maybe not. And I try to emphasize that they really need to take a look at these allowances and do a little homework. And I'm happy to help. I can send them to my plumber supply house, cabinet companies that I use, to try to understand if those appliances are going to work with what they envision at the end of the day. And only they know. You know, mm-hmm. I could put in what I think would be nice or what I've done in the past, but it's ultimately them that are going to decide or understand if it's going to work for them. And overages on allowance isn't good for anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't make any money on overages for allowance because that cost would just pass right through. And it just, to me, I think it leaves kind of a bad taste when a client gets all excited, they want to pick stuff out, and then they get the quote a few days later and it's X amount of dollars over their allowance. So I really try to put healthy numbers in there, but clearly explain, you know, this is how I got to my total, mm-hmm. total number.
Right. Because, a lot of times, the homeowner feels like they're building their dream home. And so they make that wish list and they've got, so many things on that wish list that, really can boost the price of that cost per square foot. You put in an elevator, for example. A lot of the homes I'm sure that Shelter mm-hmm, builds are mm-hmm. elevated homes, and so an elevator is one of those things that people think about now. And boom, you're talking, you know, $20,000, and that
sure.
that alone can skew the cost per square foot up quite a bit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know. What are you seeing in your customers asking for in terms of trends and things that they want in their dream homes that they're building?
Well, usually once somebody reaches out to me, the next email I get or phone call I get is they're going to invite me to their house account and send me photos of what they've been looking at for the last 2 years or, you know, so ever planning this home. And a lot of the photos that I've seen are a lot of white walls, shiplap, you know, lighter floors, very airy photos. And you know, I hear a lot this modern farmhouse look that people want with some reclaimed wood and so forth. So we've been doing a lot of that in our homes with reclaimed barn doors that we hang, shiplap walls.
What is shiplap?
Shiplap is a material you place on a wall versus sheetrock. It has horizontal lines in it, and back in the day when they built ships, they lapped the siding up the sides, and it overlaps each other.
It's like a 1x6 kind of tongue and groove.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you can do it in different materials, different sizes, and so forth. Some people do it tight, and some people leave about an eighth of an inch of a gap mm-hmm. in between the boards. But it's obviously more durable than a sheetrock wall because you paint it the trim color, which is a semi-gloss paint.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, if you add those into certain areas of the home on accent walls, it really makes it pop. You know, mm-hmm. you can certainly go overboard and do too much of it where it just kind of all blends in. But if you do it on certain focal points, it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's funny when growing up, my grandparents had a working barn in the back of their house and had stalls for horses and they had, I guess you would call it shiplap, and mm-hmm. you know, in the barn, and it was just those 1x6 kind of boards. And it's funny how things, you know, that was the barn, yeah. you know, and now it's inside your house.
Absolutely. People, they enjoy that, you know, just little features of their home that they can show off when people come over and talk about, and, you know, and people, they really strive to separate themselves from the houses down the street and so forth. And we being a custom builder really try to do that because I don't have a standard package to offer people. You know, I can give suggestions and things we've done in the past, but I really truly build a custom home for somebody, mm-hmm. you know, and help them through that process and to, you know, picking out the interior trim details and stuff like that. Every one of those details is discussed with the client mm-hmm. and determined how we're going to do it. It's not just a set standard that we do in all our homes. It's mm-hmm. every house is different.
You know, keep it on that shiplap topic. Somebody told me a long time ago that you know, having shiplap and even adding like, do any of your customers ask for like beadboard ceilings or anything
sure.
like that?
Oh, yeah.
That actually adds some structural strength to your house versus having sheetrock.
Well, it's, you know, the home should be engineered and designed the way it should be without shiplap or drywall, but it certainly provides a stronger material. And a lot of times we do it on stairways. You know, kids come mm-hmm. running down the stairs, fingerprints and all that stuff, or banging stuff. And the board and batten look, or the shiplap or the beadboard, all that stuff helps protect those high traffic areas.
Yep. And easier
to wipe off. And it's wood versus a material like drywall that would dent
exactly.
a lot easier.
That's true.
So it's certainly more structural in that mm-hmm. that aspect.
What about outdoor living spaces? Mm-hmm. Is that, are you seeing your customers asking for that at Shelter?
Absolutely. We've, you know, 50% of our projects we're putting in pools for people, a lot of outdoor fireplaces, grilling areas. So it's I enjoy doing that. I think that's a fun part of it, you know, helping people talk through how their backyard's going to integrate with their home and how they access the porches and, you know, their outdoor living space. I mm-hmm. have TVs over the fireplace outside and Bahama shutters. And so it's a whole nother aspect of the home.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
It's by code, you have to have some sort of hurricane protection system.
Yes.
Are your customers at Shelter asking for, impact rated windows, or are they just going with you know, regular windows and then hurricane rated shutters?
The majority of my clients are using just regular windows, and we provide them a hurricane protected shutter or panel that they would have to put on
mm-hmm.
in case of a storm. A few people have done impact glass. It's just it's an expense. It's a large expense to do that impact glass, but you know, some people think it's worth it. And
mm-hmm.
so I think I would say maybe 25% of the people that I've dealt with have impact glass windows in their home.
Mm-hmm. What about hard surfaces on the floor or carpeting? What are you seeing?
We do a minimal amount of carpeting, mostly hardwood floors. We do a lot of white oak, wider board floors. We've done a few homes with concrete floors where we polished the concrete and stained it in some areas, which is, it's cool.
You can do that on like upper levels? Or?
Yeah, we can. We do, it's called a pan system. You know, you do your crawl space and you lay a corrugated pan on top of that and you pour your concrete and they polish it to a higher sheen. And,
yeah.
and a lot of people, it's just a cool look. And
it's a cool look.
It's done... in mud rooms from time to time. People come in from their garage onto a concrete floor and in their mud room that's polished nice, and then have another step up onto their wood floors into their home.
Mm-hmm. The drop zone.
So, the drop zone, exactly. Uh-huh. It's pretty durable.
Right. And is it any less expensive than hardwood floors, having that polished concrete?
At the end of the day, it's probably a little more expensive just because... you know, the concrete itself, but if you think about it, you're not doing a floor system and you're not paying for hardwood floors,
mm-hmm.
but you are doing the pan, the corrugated pan, and then pouring the concrete and then paying somebody to polish it. So it's certainly an option that I don't think it'd be too much of a difference,
mm-hmm.
you know, just being able to do that concrete if the site or the floor plan lend itself mm-hmm. to do that.
You know, a lot of times customers are asking, you mentioned they're showing you their house account. And a lot of times customers, they like certain looks, but of certain houses. But then if you try to integrate them all into one house, there it might be a little bit disconnected. Do you
mm-hmm.
how do you help the customer in terms of the interior design, or do you recommend interior designers to help the customer with
sure.
those things?
Well, we provide a design coordinator with every one of our clients to help them through the process. They understand how we work and help them keep deadlines and understand the allowances and set up appointments. And that design coordinator also helps them with the aesthetics of the home,
mm-hmm.
you know, what would look good, what might not look so good. And you know, we get these photos from Hal's and you know, initially we look at the photos with the design coordinator and just try to get a feel for what the client is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we have to start narrowing it down. You know, okay, We have three photos of three different stairways. They all look cool. Which one do you really like, or which aspect of this one do you like, and this and this one you don't like, and try to zero in on it. But the design coordinator is just as important as the builder out in the field. You know, they're doing a lot of the correspondence with the clients at the design centers and showrooms around town, pulling everything together and making sure that information is relayed to the builder and the and the trade contractor to make sure it's installed correctly and the vision is fulfilled.
Right.
So it's such an important role in the project. And you know, I know from time to time I've heard that people you know, when they're building a home, they would just go to the showroom and that showroom would give the builder the selections. And I don't know, building a home without that design coordinator, I just don't know how that happens.
No, that's a big mistake, you know? Because it is, and I always say this, it's completely possible. You may decide that you're going to spend, you know, all this money on a house. You make that decision and you expect the outcome to be perfect, and it's possible you could spend all that money and then the outcome is not perfect.
That's
and
right.
it's lacking in some way, and you have regrets, and you never want her regrets.
Absolutely. And people, even if somebody comes to me and they say they already have their own interior designer they're working with, that's fantastic, but I'm still going to have our design coordinator them through the process, because that's my person in those meetings that are going to help relay that information to me and the builders that are building the home. So,
and how can folks get more information about Shelter Built Custom Living?
Well, you can reach us at our website, www.sheltercustombuiltliving.com. All the information's on there, our office number, how to contact us, and a little history about us and how we came about and photos of current and past projects.
Good deal. Well, we've been talking with Ryan Butler with Shelter Built Custom Living. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Plugs Appliance Center, located at 1903 Sam Rittenberg Boulevard, across from Outback Steakhouse, next to Pier 1 Imports. And now we're talking with Terry Newby with Charleston Lighting and Interiors. How you doing, Terry?
I'm well, thanks. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Terry, take a moment and tell everybody about Charleston Lighting and Interiors.
Charleston Lighting is located on Sam Rittenberg. We are just down the street from this location, about a block and a half away, right in front of St. Andrews Fitness Center. We've been there for probably 13 years now. We've gone through a whole trend of transitions, and the showroom's looking really awesome now. We have lots of inventory. We can handle any of your lighting needs for new constructions or remodel. We have exterior lighting, interior, rough-in opportunities for you, as well as your decorative options. On staff, we have certified lighting designers, which are there to assist you with your lighting needs. We will sit down and go through your electrical lighting plans with you. If you don't have one, we'll help you draw one up and help you make selections that are best appropriate for your needs.
Why is lighting so, I mean, I know it sounds like an obvious question, but why is lighting so important and in a home and planning out the lighting for your home so that you make sure that there's no dark spots, you know, that in the corners or what have you.
Right. Well, back in the day, we used to just take a room and put a chandelier in the center of the room. And what we've learned is our ceilings are getting much taller. We're putting more expensive finishes in a home. So you want to accent them. You don't want to just light up a circle in the center of your room. You want to illuminate the whole room. And it's best to build layers of lighting. So you may, there's a lot that you can do with your recess cans now. They're becoming very energy efficient and they have a lot of punch. So you, for example, can put them in corners or highlight some particular art that you want to highlight. Then you can add a different layer with bringing a chandelier in. So you're lighting the entire room and not just on top of a dining room table, for example.
It's almost adding some redundancies to the lighting so that if one is off, the other is going to be helping out.
Right. Bring in some more ambient lighting, some more task lighting. So it's all about building layers of light within the room instead of just one power source.
Why is it important to maybe have a lighting specialist from Charleston Lighting help with the plan of where all of those fixtures are going to go versus maybe letting your electrician make those choices?
Well, we ask a lot of questions about your lifestyle, what you're going to do in a particular room. You may have a room coming in your front door, for example, that you're going to, that's designed to be a living room, and you may not be using it for a living room. You may be using it for a game room or children's playroom or an office. So an office is going to require different layers of lighting than you would for a game room type scenario. So we try to ask a lot of questions and have you think about what you're going to be doing in a particular room, and then the best way for you to light that. And lots of times homeowners are so overwhelmed with the whole building process or remodel process that they just think, I need to get a light in this room, and they don't take into consideration all the other options that would be available to them. Also, it's hard for homeowners to scale. The ceilings are getting higher. There's a lot of homes with 10 and 12 foot ceilings out there, and it's hard for someone to think how large a chandelier should be in a scenario over a table. So we help with that.
If you're building a house or you have a remodel going on, is there an extra charge to have the lighting specialists at Charleston Lighting provide a lighting plan?
No, that is incorporated into our services. We'll sit down with you and go through the whole lighting process with you, and in exchange we'll give you the best service for you and your project.
What's the talk about the process for a couple of minutes about if you are building a house, choosing lighting for your house. You might have an allowance for lighting, but how is that divvied up per room?
It depends on what the homeowner wants. Lots of times folks will want to have the best bang for their buck and do a lot in downstairs or powder rooms or kitchens where they're going to be a lot of the time that they're in the house. A kitchen is a hub, for example. So they may want to spend more money there. And then coming upstairs into guest rooms, they may want to cut their budget a little bit, which is fine. And we help folks divvy that budget up accordingly. Typically, the builders will give you one lump sum, and then it's the homeowner's responsibility to figure out how they want to divvy those funds up. So we try to keep everybody within budget. We have full range of pricing at our showroom, so we can handle any pocketbook needs that could be out there.
What happens when the homeowner falls in love with one fixture and it kind of blows the budget? Do you ever make suggestions about, well, you can kind of get that same look with this other fixture that's
Absolutely. And we have a great website that allows us to do a similar item. You know, if they fall in love with one particular chandelier, we can pull it up on our website and say, show us similar items within a price point, and then it will come as close as it can for a lesser price point. And, you know, when we're working with a client, we know what the budget is in mind. We try to steer them into items that they would fall in love with that are within their budget.
We built a house about 6 years ago, and what amazed me was about a year or two after we moved in, I noticed how much how different the lighting fixtures had changed. When we built oil rub bronze was a big finish. Is that still popular, or what kind of finishes are popular?
It is still out there. Just worked with a woman yesterday who wanted oil rub bronze finish, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are a lot of new lighter finishes coming in. We've gone through a trend of polished nickel. A lot of whites and grays and polished nickel, satin nickel would blend with that. And now we're having some like faux finish where it's bringing in your gold, silvers, and bronze. So it'll mix with a lot of different finishes so you don't have to stick to just one finish throughout the house.
Very nice.
Which is nice.
are what kind of styles are you seeing people choose these days from Charleston Lighting? Is it more dressed down or dressed up?
I think it's more casual. The crystal chandelier, there's still a small market out there, but we used to sell crystal chandeliers all day long, and now that's kind of taken a back seat, and we'll try to put it in one, if someone's traditional enough, we'll put it in one space. But typically it's more a casual look, lighter finishes. There's a lot of grays coming onto the market, the faux finishes. So it's getting a little lighter than just the heavy iron pieces.
Gotcha. How important is how can Charleston Lighting help a homeowner with energy efficiency with their lighting?
Energy efficient is a big buzzword out there right now. We are moving into the LED phase. We do an awful lot of LED lighting. It's available on outdoor lighting, bath lightings. The price points have come way down because the need has gotten much greater. We are putting it into recess cans. You can either do a whole LED recess can or do an LED retrofit trim, which is a baffle and where the bulb is included in the baffle, or you can do an LED light bulb. All your appliances coming out, everything you're putting in your house now is more energy efficient, and lights are catching up with that.
And you told me something interesting before we started the interview, that if you're building a house, in order to get your certificate of occupancy, you have to show the inspector that your house is 50% energy efficient. Is that?
Well, when the inspectors come through, they're looking for that in, because, you know, they're obviously going to be through before the homeowners, and they're looking at that, the fixtures and the bulbs that are in there. So we're achieving that with the under-counter lights are all coming out and with LED options now. We are sometimes using compact fluorescents to put in bath lights and hallway lights to help achieve that 50%.
Very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Charleston Lighting and Interiors?
Well, they can look us up on our website, www.charlestonlightingandinteriors.com, and they'll be able to link into our online shopping. We have 200 manufacturers downloaded. It's a very user-friendly website. You can streamline your search if you're looking for a chandelier, what style, what size, what price point, and it'll navigate you through those particular options. So besides our website, you can come see us, 1640 Sam Rittenberg Boulevard, right in front of St. Andrew's Fitness Center. We're there from 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturdays. We have, as I said, ALA lighting specialist there all the time. You can always call us 843-766-3055 and call and make an appointment with one of our specialists, and we'll be happy to accommodate you.
Sounds good. Well, we've been talking with Terry Newby with Charleston Lighting and Interiors. Thanks so much, Terry.
Thanks, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And now we're talking with Tom Werner with Charleston One Source. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good, Tim. Thank you very much for having me here.
Sure,
today.
Sure. Tom, take a moment and tell everybody about Charleston One Source.
Charleston One Source specializes in custom hardwood floors, both solid and engineered. We could do things from your typical hardwood floors, you know, your strip oaks, all the way up to your very elegant hand-scraped woods, walnut, cherry, etc. So anything that you're looking for with a particular design element to the hardwood floor, which kind of is the canvas for the room. It's what everything else is built upon, starts at the floor and works its way up. We can help you with the most important part of that.
Gotcha. So Charleston One Source, you folks specialize in dramatic and exotic hardwood flooring. I think I got that from your website. What you mentioned, engineered wood flooring. What is engineered wood flooring?
Well, basically there are two types of wood floors that are most people are becoming more familiar with. Of course, solid, which is where you have what you see on top of the wood, which is walnut, cherry, red oak, white oak, maple, etc., and that goes all the way through. So it's one solid piece of wood. What has become increasingly popular these days is an engineered wood, which is on a different kind of substrate. So it's got either a plywood base, or it has that's for a multi-layer, maybe a birch plywood or some other type of plywood. And then you have what they call a wear layer, which is what you see as that top piece of wood that you're familiar with. And again, that could be oaks, it could be walnut, cherry, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a multi-layer platform. And the main benefit of that is because the layers are laid perpendicular to each other, it does help restrict the seasonal movement of wood flooring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cure-all. It does come with different attributes than solid, so there are going to be times where solid is going to be more appropriate than an engineered, but it certainly is an option out there. And one thing to keep in mind is that although you're poorly constructed engineered floors and your very well constructed engineered floors are both called engineered floors, a lot of times there is a significant difference in the quality between one to another.
How do you tell the difference?
Well, it's something that you several keys that could be there. It's what's the manufacturer of this? How is the manufacturer backing the board? What is the overall thickness of the wood? Is it something that is made here in the U.S. or is it made overseas?
Mm-hmm.
We do have options in all ranges. We have custom that are made right here in the U.S. that are made to order. And those generally are in the 5/8 or 3/4 inch thickness. And then generally your less expensive ones will be, 3/8 to 1/2 inch thick. Doesn't mean that they're going to fall apart on you. It just means that their overall costs are generally tend to be less the thinner they are.
And the appearance for the homeowner when they have friends and family come over to visit, it looks just like regular hardwood floor.
Well, that really depends. You can have an unfinished engineered hardwood floor, which is finished. It's sanded and finished on site, just like a regular solid hardwood floor. And you're really not going to be able to tell the difference. In most cases, the only people who are going to be able to know that it's an engineered floor are going to be the homeowner, the builder, and the installer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have it so it looks exactly the same. If you go to areas that are pre-finished, it really depends on what the level of finishing is. Mm-hmm. For that product. If you go with a 3/8 inch that has no boards that are longer than 3.5 feet long, yeah, you're going to be able to tell. Mm-hmm. If you go with a high end that has an engineered floor that has boards up to 11 or 12 feet long, it's going to be very difficult to tell if that is a solid or an engineered.
Mm-hmm. And after, say, 10, 15 years of wear, it's time to sand and refinish these floors. Can the engineered wood floors be refinished?
A lot of that depends on the thickness of the wear layer.
Mm-hmm.
So that wear layer, again, that's the top piece that you see of the wood. So for your higher quality woods, you're going to be looking at something that's 4, 5, or maybe even 6 millimeters thick. So that's you're in the area about 1/6 of an inch to 1/4 of an inch thick. Mm-hmm. There. With your thinner woods, you're going to be in the area of 2 millimeters. And sometimes even less. So the number of sandings that you could get out of that, maybe one.
Mm-hmm.
But of the ones with your thicker, you'll probably get over the course of the wood probably 2, 3, maybe even 4 resandings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, you really don't want to resand the wood down to, sand all the finish off down to bare wood. What you really want to do these days is abrade the finish, buff it, and recoat and keep as much of that original finish on as possible. And the reason for that is that it extends the life of the floor, and you don't want to do more to your wood floor than you absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. And there are also different finishes out there that don't require sanding in order to renew the finish, that mm-hmm. you could basically clean and then reapply more finish. A lot of European oils are like that. We do a lot of our hand scrape floors with Waterlox tongue oil, and you can reapply onto itself, which is a great benefit because then you can really extend the life of your floor because you're not resanding that down.
Mm-hmm. With the recent flooding, there might be some folks out there that are looking to replace their hardwood floors.
Exactly.
What would you tell them when they visit Charleston One Source?
Well, a lot of times, which are the issues that you're running into with floods, etc., may not be the flooring itself that is the issue, because you're also you also have the subfloor, which is generally a plywood base or some sort of
Advantech,
which is an oriented strand board. Mm-hmm. Those are the two most popular now. You may have issues with the subfloor that are causing distortions in that, and then your original floor is never going to sit flat. You're going to have to take everything up down to your joists, replace the subfloor, and then replace the hardwoods on top of that. So sometimes it's not just the flooring that causes the issue. Sometimes it's what it's sitting on that really is the issue with that. And you also have to take a look at, well, how did that current floor perform during this, or what were the issues that were caused? Sometimes with the engineered boards, if it gets completely soaked, if it's on a plywood backer, again, that's going to be the issue rather than if you had a solid wood floor. Mm-hmm. That may be able to dry out over time, and it may be able to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee, but a lot of times what you need to do when you're in this an emergency situation from a flood, etc., is that you do need, you can't really wait as much time as the wood would need to take, 6 months, maybe 9 months, to dry out naturally. You need to make a decision and move on and rebuild your life, and part of that rebuilding your life is going to be replacing that floor.
Right. And if you have an insurance claim, it could be a nice opportunity to get some brand new wood floors.
And most times with insurance, what you're replacing is like with like. So if you're looking, if you're thinking that my floor got flooded, I'm going to go back in with some, antique pine, replacing a strip oak floor, that's probably not going to happen. Now, it can, but it would involve some money coming out of the homeowner's pocket.
Right.
So it is, we're dealing with issues here, which are structural issues, et cetera. And what the insurance company is looking to is putting the house back to the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
That said, if there was ever a time that you were looking to replace these floors and had something else in mind, well, this may be that right opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Well, tell everyone how they can get more information about Charleston One Source.
We are located at 826 C Coleman Boulevard in Mount Pleasant. We have regular office hours or showroom hours, generally from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Saturdays tend to be there 10 to 1 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's by appointment. We tend to be there as much as we can, but we're a small business, and sometimes things take us out.
Yes, call ahead and
call
set
ahead,
up
and we'll be there. Our number is 843-278-1751. You can also reach us on our website, which is charlestononesource.com.
All right, great. Well, we've been talking with Tom Werner with Charleston One Source. Thanks, Tom.
Great.
Talking about a home. Talking about me and you. The things we'll do or say to home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show and the Custom Home and Remodel Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit newhomecharleston.com, Charleston's online home show, and home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you.